News today out of Iraq. A local police chief there says ISIS has burned 45 people to death in the western town of al-Baghdadi. Militant fighters gained control of the town last week and attacked a major military base nearby. NPR's Ari Shapiro is in Erbil in Iraq. That's in the northern part of the country. And Ari, we want to talk to you about what you've been seeing in that part of Iraq. But what more are you hearing about what's going on in the south?
Well, there's been a lot of activity in Anbar over the last week or so. The latest report, of course, is of these people being publicly killed in a very gruesome way. But it sort of points to the fact that in the southern and western parts of Iraq, the Iraqi army is having real troubles pushing back ISIS. In contrast to the northern part of Iraq, the Kurdish area where I am, where the Kurdish fighters known as the Peshmerga have seen some real successes.
Well, you wonder if ISIS is becoming more aggressive in the south because it's losing ground to the Kurds in northern Iraq.
I'm not sure if you can draw a cause and effect relationship there, but certainly they have seen the Iraqi army fall short time and time again. And so in the city of al-Baghdadiyah, for example, we saw last week them make some significant advances to just within a few miles of a base that houses more than 300 American Marines. They're there training Iraqi military personnel. And the U.S. and the Western coalition that is working to fight ISIS is really determined to get the Iraqi military up and running in order to be able to make some advances against this group. But so far, the Iraqi army has just not shown itself to be up to the task.
Well, and one of the places that the Iraqi army, or at least Iraqi politicians, would like to make some advances against ISIS is in Mosul, to try to retake Mosul, which fell to ISIS last June. Is that realistic? Is the Iraqi army strong enough to retake Mosul?
Not right now. And that's why you hear people saying that it may be within the coming months that there will be an effort to take back Mosul. Some people are saying it'll be the spring. Others are saying even that is too optimistic. Everyone agrees this is not something that you want to try to do and fail. And a long, drawn-out fight in Mosul could send hundreds of thousands more people fleeing north. And you have a country right now that is already housing so many what they call IDPs, internally displaced persons, that adding hundreds of thousands more from Mosul to the population would be almost unbearable. So they really want to make sure that they know they are going to succeed before they go ahead and do this. And even before they go on Mosul, between Baghdad and Mosul, there is a lot of land held by ISIS, and they sort of need to get ISIS out of those areas before they even try to take back Mosul. So there's a ways to go yet.
Well, and the question of the U.S. role comes up. And I remember we spoke just a few months ago with an Iraqi lawmaker who was saying there should be more U.S. support in Iraq in the fight against ISIS. Do many Iraqis want more help from the U.S.?
You often hear Kurds complaining that there is not enough weaponry coming. Americans will tell you that the results on the battlefield where the Kurds have been successful show otherwise. People say that they would like to see American ground troops. President Obama vows that that is not going to happen. Generally speaking, the American airstrikes have been very helpful in clearing the way for the local ground forces to go in and do the really difficult, bloody kind of work that it takes to drive ISIS out of these cities. But it seems that you have to have both elements. You have to have the airstrikes and you have to have the capable ground forces. And if you've got one and not the other, it just does not seem that ISIS is going to be dislodged.
Well, one situation that we talked about a lot on this program that was a joint operation between Kurdish forces and Iraqi forces, U.S. forces even, was trying to help the Yazidis, this religious minority group that was stranded on Mount Sinjar after ISIS forced them to flee their homes. What's the latest there? Have they been able to return back to their homes?
To some areas. There were areas at the base of Mount Sinjar that were reclaimed in late December. And I actually visited one of those towns, a place called Sununi, where maybe 10,000 people out of a population of around 150,000 have returned. Life is not back to normal. There's no water. There's no electricity. Most of the people who have come back wear camouflage and carry weapons. We're talking about single men, many of them fighters. But life is starting to come back. And they're finding really horrific things, mass graves, destruction. But it's also interesting that the fight to control these cities is kind of written on the sides of the buildings in graffiti, where you have black writing that claims buildings for the self-described Islamic State, crossed out, and in red or green writing, the colors of the Kurdish flag, you have graffiti saying this is now the property of the Kurds, the Peshmerga fighters.
Ari, as listeners know, you're normally based in London. You've been reporting from Iraq. We've been following your reporting on the air and on Twitter and Instagram. What is the most surprising thing that you've seen while you've been there in Iraq?
The thing that really strikes me is how different the Kurdish region up here in the north of Iraq is from the rest of the country. Not only geographically, it's more green, it's rolling hills, it's lush, but it's a very diverse area with many different ethnicities. It's an area where Americans are welcomed, and it's an area where, largely because of the capability of the Peshmerga fighters, terrorism has not taken hold in the way that it has in the rest of Iraq, and the group known as the Islamic State has not made the kinds of advances that it has in the rest of Iraq.
NPR's Ari Shapiro joining us from, as you heard there, Erbil in northern Iraq. Ari, thank you so much.
You're welcome.